You're listening to the Nick Smith Podcast.
Real life, no myth.
Where we talk about myths and misunderstandings
surrounding life, race, faith, and culture.
If you'd like to support the Nick Smith Podcast, rate us on iTunes.
Or you can give through our Patreon.
And don't forget to share this on social media so that all of your friends can know what you're listening to.
We are your hosts, Nick Smith.
And Kylie Jo Smith. And today's episode is called Spiritual Religious.
The myth of private spirituality. So we're talking about this because in the ministry and just in life in general, we come across a lot of people, maybe some of you out there who are listening to this. And if this is you, don't get offended, or get offended and send us a comment. That would also be fine. But no, we come across people who consider themselves a part of the church. They would call themselves Christian, but they consider themselves more spiritual than religious, mm-hmm. because they find themselves with this sense of private spiritualism. But they reject the church.
Yeah. And sometimes people in those positions even have correct theology.
Yeah.
Like the stuff they believe in scripture, they hold it as the authority in all things related to the Christian life.
Yeah.
And maybe they've heard a few good sermons, but they're missing the communal aspect of faith.
Yes.
And so, and there's a lot of reasons that people reject that. I mean, we've all encountered different things. Like, I don't want to go to church because, you know, it's just a group of hypocrites. They're all judgmental.
Mm. Oh, speaking of that, yeah. Speaking of people being judgmental,
yeah, what about
I'm finna judge somebody. No, I'm just kidding. I've experienced more times than not going out and dealing with people who are not Christian, not a part of the church, mm-hmm. and they'll be like, man, all those Christians are so judgmental. Every Christian I deal with, they just look down on me and they think they're better than me. And the whole time I'm like, you realize everything you're saying is a judgment right now.
Right.
My favorite judgment that the world has, that people who are not part of the church have, those people think they're better than me.
Okay. Yeah. We had to break that one down.
Okay.
Because.
Break it down.
What?
Break it.
So when I say about a person that they think they're better than me. And I think we've talked about this briefly before in another episode because it comes up so often. Yes, we're making a judgment call in that moment.
Straight up.
I'm making a judgment call that you think you're better than me. One, I'm assuming, or rather presuming, to know your thoughts about me.
If you know people's thoughts, I mean, you should monetize that.
You probably need to get a book written or something.
Or make some money somehow. I know
your thoughts. Start a podcast. I mean, I don't know.
Start selling products that people
need.
Right.
Yeah. So you're presuming to know their thoughts, which we can't, as our human capacity to do that is limited. It stops.
It don't exist.
We can't do that. And you're presuming that their thought about you is about you. Like they're thinking about you. You're making it about you.
You're presuming that any action or any face or anything you see on them
is about you, which is completely, not only is that judgmental, it's completely self-centered.
Straight up.
It's self-aggrandizing, if that makes sense. And so you're judging that person's thoughts and the intents of their heart.
Which sounds like God to me.
Which kind of sounds...
I only know one dude who could do that.
In saying people are judgmental and they just think they're better than me, I really believe in my heart that what you're saying is, I think they're better than me.
Yeah.
I don't view myself as an image bearer. I don't have value over my own personhood. And so I think this person's better than me because of what I see on the outside. But also you're judging that person.
That's right.
So the accusation of people being judgmental in that way is really passing judgment on them.
Which is funny. I think that generally what people are doing or saying is mostly about them.
Like,
absolutely. My response to somebody is mostly about what I've been going through that day. It has nothing to do with the other person.
Yeah.
But then on top of that, I remember hearing, I don't know if a pastor said it, if I read it on a meme on Facebook or something, but the response to, well, man, church is just a bunch of hypocrites. The response is, well, there's always room for one more.
Amen.
And so,
amen.
But that is something that we hear, that the church is a bunch of hypocrites. Now, church folk who are listening, a lot of that flack that comes up is warranted. Because there is some hypocritical stuff, which is basically saying one thing and doing something else.
Mm-hmm.
But as a church, we're called to repentance. And so not a good enough reason to not go to church.
Yeah. And another thing we hear people say, and we've heard it a lot more, I think maybe in rural communities, it's more common because people are a little bit more connected to nature.
Mm-hmm.
But we hear a lot that, well, I can worship God anywhere. I can worship God, you know, out in the boat when I'm fishing. I can worship God up in a deer blind. I can worship God in nature. I don't have to be in a church building.
Yeah, I love that argument. I can worship God anywhere. Yeah, but you don't. You don't. Like, for real. You really don't.
And what is worship? Exactly. I mean, we can go, that's a whole other subject. Like, what are you talking about? You can sing hymns.
You can talk to God. You can pray.
That's not the essence of worship.
Yeah, worship is this dedicating of everything you are to giving God glory.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can do that in nature, and you should do that in nature.
Yeah.
But the act, the meeting, the gathering, the worship space is an event that we participate in with the Holy Spirit.
And are you doing that worshiping that you're doing out in nature in traffic when someone cuts you off? Are you doing that nature in the grocery store when you see the person that you don't like? Like, if you're really worshiping God wherever you want to be, let's carry that truly out into the world.
Yeah, let's really do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I've also heard people say, well, I don't need to be a part of church to be a Christian. I don't have to be a part of church to be a Christian.
Okay.
And people have these crazy justifications, like, well, religion is man-made and church is something that man made up. Uh-huh. And they have all these ideas about how Jesus is just something you add to your life. Well, if I have Jesus, my life's going to get better and I don't need to go to church. I don't need to change. I just apply Jesus directly to my life. Like that.
Those old head-on commercials.
That's right. Head-on. Apply directly to the forehead. Head-on. Apply directly to the forehead.
Jesus. Apply directly to the soul.
Jesus. Layer on the top of your soul superficially. Right. That's not our faith. That's not how we do things. So I remember being this kind of person, though.
Yeah.
Because I had the wrong understanding of what being a Christian was.
Mm-hmm.
I looked at the faith. I looked at being a Christian as really just being a good person who eventually goes to heaven. Like, that was my thought of being a Christian. It was like, okay, I go to Jesus, he forgives my sins, and then I just work at being a good person the rest of the time.
Until I die.
And then I'm in, you know, but I just got to do my best. When I mess up, I pray, he forgives me.
Yeah.
Boom. That's Christianity. And I didn't think that I had to go to a building every week and sit and hear a boring sermon or even an exciting sermon. I didn't care.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to sit and stand and get dressed up and have to go through these rituals that I wasn't familiar with. Also, I wasn't really raised in one specific type of church.
Yeah.
And so there was also this other element of like, well, I don't have a church home, so I've got to find a church and sit around a bunch of people I don't know. And I don't need to do all that. I don't need to step outside of my shell.
Yo, shell.
You better believe
get
I don't need to step
outside your shell.
If I get outside my shell, boy, howdy. I don't need to step outside of my shell.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't understand the function of church.
Yeah.
Or why it exists.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, I can relate to that, not really understanding it, not being given a firm understanding of what that is. And also trying to, like you said, apply Jesus to your life as it is and just kind of layer him on to everything else you're already doing. I think that was where I was. Like, I'm a firstborn. And so I'm incredibly independent and like, I can do it myself. I can DIY.
I'll vouch for that. Yeah. Everyone listening. That is very true.
And so being self-sufficient in that sense, coming to the Lord, and I was in high school when I first accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior.
Well, as your Savior.
As my Savior. Yes, that's true. I was like, oh yeah, I want him to save me because I don't want to go to hell. And I'm really like, I'm intrigued about this like salvation thing. But I didn't have any mentors. Like, I wasn't a part of a church. And so, like, I wasn't into the fellowship and discipleship that I needed to have until college, really. And even then, an accurate picture of discipleship was not ever painted for me.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't resistant to the church. I was just completely ignorant of what being a part of a church was. I mean, I saw all these adults that I looked up to, like, okay, there's a pastor, and then there's like a youth pastor and youth pastor's wife, and then there's like musicians, and I didn't understand what it meant to be a part of that. I didn't know where I fit into that.
Yeah. Well, it's a whole different culture.
Yeah.
Church is a subculture, and it should be countercultural, actually.
Right.
Because the kingdom is countercultural to this world. But if you don't understand that church has its own culture, when you step into that as someone who has been discipled by the world, someone who has been taught how to be good at being a worldly person, right? You've been taught the standards of whatever neighborhood, whatever community you grew up in. Mm-hmm. And then you step into this church and all of a sudden you're like, okay, I don't really get this whole thing.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how this works because I have friends already. I don't need more mm-hmm. friends. Mm-hmm. I have a job already.
I have a family.
We miss that. The church is supposed to be a community of believers. It's supposed to be a family.
Yeah.
So much so that in the ancient church, like when people would be baptized, a lot of times they would be disowned. Actually, this happens a lot now in like the Mideast. Mm-hmm. The Mideast.
Why'd I try to make cool it? That's kind of the cool way to say it.
Try to put a little swag
yo,
on
yo,
it.
Yo, yo, yo. You from the Mideast?
I'm in the
what?
Mideast. I tried to put Midwest and Middle East at the same time.
At least you didn't say Middle Earth or something like that.
The Middle West. No, but in the Middle East, this happens. People get baptized as Christians and they get kicked out of their family, mm-hmm. if not worse.
Yeah.
And so they get welcomed into the body of believers because the church becomes an extension of the family, of who you are. That's supposed to be your everyday group. And you look and read the book of Acts. Mm-hmm. It says they were in each other's homes daily, breaking bread, eating, having fun. Yeah. They didn't have TVs in, but they probably would have watched the game together. Right. They probably would have hung out and they talked about Jesus and they laughed and they played with each other's kids.
They weren't talking about Jesus like in a bad way.
No, they weren't like bad mouthing him behind his back. Like,
man, did you hear what Jesus did?
Yeah, he saved us. Go ahead. Continue. Continue.
That's what talking about people should be like. That's how it should go in the church.
Yes, it should be that way. But they were a community.
Yeah.
And we come from our very individualistic communities. We have a very me-centered idea of the world.
Yeah.
Especially in America. The meaniverse. Mm-hmm. That's right. It's not a universe. It's a meaniverse. It's this selfie generation that we have. And we forget that we are not islands unto ourselves.
Yeah.
Our autonomy, which is just our own rule over ourselves. We forget that we have to deal with other people and their autonomy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're supposed to grow together.
And you forget that till you have children. Then you're very constantly reminded of others' autonomy.
Others' autonomous.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. The Christian concept of community, this church body that mm-hmm. comes into being, a lot of Christians, they allow all these excuses to get in the way of becoming a part of that body.
Yeah.
Some excuses, like I said, being hurt. And please hear us. We're not saying that being hurt by the church or dealing with some sort of rejection is not a real issue, because mm-hmm. that stuff happens.
Yeah.
But I love this saying I saw on the internet. Jesus was hurt the worst by the church.
Amen.
And he's never left it.
Amen.
Like, Jesus loves the church, even though the church has continuously hurt him. And so we have to get to that point where we're like, okay, this person, mm-hmm. this group, this small group, mm-hmm. These church leaders, this pastor, whoever it was, they may have done something terrible, but that wasn't the bride. That wasn't the body of Christ that did that to me.
And it wasn't the unforgivable sin, whatever it was.
That's right.
And truthfully, like, another layer to this issue with, I will say gospel community.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Good word.
Is this issue of consumerism. I take my view of business. I take my view of school or clubs or whatever community I've been a part of. Mm-hmm. And I then go to the church and I expect it to be the same thing. So I come here in order to receive.
To get what I want.
I come here in order to be a part of something that should fall in line with the other things I'm a part of. And yet, in gospel community, we have layers of accountability and we have mm-hmm. layers of teaching and exhortation.
Submission.
And submission that are not worldly. And they don't make sense when you try to view it through the worldly lens. And so, and I know church hurt is real.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
I have experienced it myself.
Hashtag same.
Yes.
Do people still say that?
Well, we do now.
Okay, we'll bring it back.
They will start saying it now because we know that everyone's listening to this. And
that's
going,
right.
Oh, they said hashtag same and Mideast.
That's right.
I learned that on a podcast. Anyway, it's a real thing. But also, sometimes that hurt is a result of my expectation mm-hmm. that you would treat me a certain way or let me do a certain amount of things. And yet I can't. I come to the body of believers where, no, our standard is very different.
Yeah.
Here. Our standard of everything.
Yeah.
We do things with excellence. We do things in a way that glorifies someone beyond ourselves.
That's right.
If I come to that and it offends me, it's going to hurt my feelings.
Yeah. And it should.
And it should. And then there's a way to, with accountability and with like grace, which has to cover everything, there's a way to move through that. But a lot of times what happens is I get offended. Someone does or doesn't do something I expected them to do. Mm-hmm. They look at me funny. They're having a bad day and I don't care because I wanted to come here and receive something. So now my feelings are hurt and now I'm going to leave and I'm going to reject anything that looks like church because that one pastor, that one time, or that one person, that one minister in the church did not meet my expectation.
Yeah. And that kind of Burger King have it your way isms, that shows its ugly head in church and it causes people to retreat to this. It's not like Burger King. It's more like Hometown Buffet or like, I don't know, China Star in, everyone has like a China Star in their area.
Yes.
That seems to be a common name. I don't know why that's a thing.
Yeah.
Or do you remember Ryan's?
Oh my goodness, yes.
Ryan's Steakhouse was my jam.
Shout out to Ryan's.
Some of you may not like Ryan's, but it was my jam.
As a kid, it didn't get much better.
You know, I didn't experience Ryan's until I was in high school. And I was like, wait, I can go up and get as much steak as I want? Are you serious? And I was looking over my shoulder as I'm eating my steak. Like, they ain't going to take this from me, are they? This is my third one. Anyway, but people come to church with this kind of buffet mentality.
Yeah.
And so they think they can take what they want from church and then take it home and then put it together however they want. And that's their own spirituality. That's their idea of being a Christian.
And anything that challenges that, I can reject it because it's my buffet.
That's right. I don't like that.
I already paid my ticket. I already signed up. I already served. I already did whatever.
I'm a member. It's fine. I don't need...
I have my card.
That's right.
Which, just side note, I did not realize until becoming a Nazarene, people actually used to carry cards.
Well, and I, just so everyone knows, I'm a card carrying as a pastor. Yeah. They give us little cards, which is kind of cool.
You could take people's cards. Like if you were no longer going to be a part of the church, if you know, whatever, you stepped out of fellowship, I'm going to need your card back.
So growing up in the hood, there's a saying called pulling someone's card.
It's real.
And so, you would pulling someone's card is like showing them to be a fraud. Like you take the toughness from them. And so people used to do card checks. They would pull someone's card in the church. But you know what? I've actually experienced this buffet mentality as a pastor. Mm-hmm. People have been like, hey, pastor, could you come over to the house and baptize me? Wait, just you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can I just have a private baptism? No, you can't
do that.
That's
not how we do it.
Can you just bring communion to the house? Are you sick? Are you infirmed? No, I just, I'm not really a part of the church. I don't do the whole church thing.
I don't do church.
No, I'm not going to bring you a private communion because you don't want to be a part of the body.
I mean, we're serving it and you're welcome to come.
The table's open. Show up.
Yeah.
And if you're sick, you're in a nursing home, you're in a hospital, I will gladly bring you communion.
Yeah.
But you just want to chill at the house and like you could Domino's ordered in.
Right.
Communion.
But if you think about it.
I want to call in. Can I get DoorDash
but you
from
can't,
my communion?
Right. But how that perpetuates the culture.
Yeah.
Because it used to be if I want McDonald's, I have to get in my car. I have to go to where there is a McDonald's.
Yeah.
I have to wait in line. Well,
and even before McDonald's, let's go back when there were just cafes.
Yeah.
If I want someone else to cook for me, I need to go somewhere else.
And sit with the other people in the building.
Yeah.
Now.
It was a communal event.
Right. Now I push a button. It comes to me. I don't have to interact. I could even leave the money on the doorstep.
Yep. It's clipped in the mailbox. Drop my food off.
And that rolls over into the way we treat the gospel community.
That's right.
Which to me, I mean, I'm just going to be super like almost like weird about it. To me, that is almost blasphemous to the church.
Yeah.
It's almost like, how dare I think that this exists to serve me?
Yeah.
That this exists for my like comfort. And certainly the church should be a safe place where I can go to receive fellowship, to be with my people.
Yeah.
But I don't go there for that. That's not my purpose in going.
Well, and I think part of the blame is on the church because we spent so many generations telling people that Jesus is their personal savior, their private religion, that Jesus, if you were the only person on earth, he would have died for you, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
In hypotheticks, but that's not what happened.
But that's not the reality. Why do we need to paint a picture that is imaginative when we have an actual living savior? And the reality is, I'm just going to go here.
Go ahead.
The reality is God saved a people. He saved a whole nation unto himself.
That's right.
He didn't go to Moses, hey, look, it's just you. I like you.
Well, and even
I'm your personal.
When he was upset with the nation of Israel, he said, Moses, I'm going to make you a people.
A people. I'm not going to just have you by yourself.
Yeah.
So when we look at the church, and yes, we should understand that we have a personal relationship with our Savior who has saved a people.
Yeah.
It is communal.
And we are a part of that people.
Yes. Like that is that. And does not every person desire that, to be a part of something, to belong? Like that is what the church is for. So when I say, well, I have a personal Savior and that's all that matters to me.
Yeah.
I'm robbing myself of the very thing that is planted within me that I should desire.
And it creates this elitism. It creates like I'm a gold star member in the body of Christ.
I have a personal subscription.
Yeah, I don't need to go to the Costco. Everything's delivered to me.
I have Amway.
I'm not going to mingle with you commoners. Right. But it does create this like, well, he's my Savior and I can do what I need to do. And it creates a self-righteous Christian and it robs the Christian, the individual believer who says, I don't need the church. It robs that person of edification, of being made into the image of God. Because if you live in isolation, apart from conflict, apart from other people who are going to rub up against you, you don't grow. So two quick examples. In space, people, they get taller, but their muscles and joints get weaker. Because there's no friction, there's no contact. So like they kind of expand a little bit, they grow a couple inches, but it's because there's no contact. But then they have to work at friction. Other example, they tried to grow trees in a biodome. I think it was in Arizona, and they wanted to create the perfect environment for these trees to flourish. Mm-hmm. And after these trees got huge, they fell over because they found out without wind, the root system didn't go down deep enough to grip so that these trees would have.
So they needed the disturbance.
They needed the environment, the entire environment to create in them something that they didn't have inherent.
Wow.
Like, or not inherent, innately.
Innately, okay.
I know it was one of them.
Inherent.
Inherent and innate is one of them words. But as Christians, if you're not in communion, if you're not in a body where the Holy Spirit blows through this body of believers and starts to shake things up and you start to feel the ebb and flow of what the church is doing, you don't get roots deep enough.
Yeah.
And eventually you get to this point where
you fall over.
Yeah. You're like, okay, what's next? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I guess I'll go back to my old ways. I don't know. I think I've reached this pinnacle of what it means to be a personal follower.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we have like, And you cannot, you said before, like no man is an island. No person is an island. But we do have this idea that with all the resources at our fingertips, literally, I can self-teach.
Yeah.
I can dig my own roots down because I saw a video on YouTube or I listened to a podcast or I have
shout out to podcast.
Yes, right. I listened to a preacher.
Yeah. Shout out to preachers.
But here's the thing. And we listen to preachers.
Yes.
We listen to teachers who are in other parts of the country, other parts of the world. Like we enjoy honestly, I love hearing a pastor preach something that I've heard my husband preach in Plainville, Kansas, because it shows me. It reminds me that the Holy Spirit is at work in his global church. I don't need that pastor. And that pastor I'm listening to on my podcast or whatever, that's not my personal pastor. I'm not going to call them for a counseling session.
That's right.
Because I'm not connected to that body.
Yeah.
It's simply an added layer of edification. But we have this like self-teaching, self-propagating, selfie religion.
Straight up.
That I have the perfect environment because it's just me and my Bible.
Yeah.
And we create this sense of, it is self-righteous almost, that I can do this on my own. Yet at the same time, we're completely ignorant of the things of faith that are applied. So like we saw a meme, that a pastor friend of ours had posted. It's hilarious. To me, it's hilarious. It was like, people say I can be a Christian without going to church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, sure. Yeah. So like a zebra can still be a zebra. Apart from the pack, even if that zebra.
I think it's called a herd, but that's okay.
I'm
going to
call it a zebra pack.
All right. Z pack. Go ahead. The zebra and the Z pack.
The zebra can still be a zebra apart from the pack as it is being pursued by a lion.
Yeah.
As it is being mangled by a beast because it's by itself.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's still a zebra.
Even if it's all chewed up.
Even if it's all chewed up and dead.
Yeah, it's a dead
spiritually
zebra.
Dead. Yes, you can be a Christian apart. You can still know the personal saving grace of Jesus Christ in your heart and not be a part of a church, but you are going to be spiritually dead.
Yeah, there's
going to
be no growth. No growth.
And you're constantly going to be pursued because the animals that get picked off from the herd are the ones who are off by themselves.
That's right.
Because they're weaker.
That's right.
That's just the if you want to talk about nature and you want to talk about things imitating things in nature. This is the truth. That's an example we are given in nature, that the weak things that are off by themselves, yeah, you can still totally claim your identity as someone who is saved and loved by Jesus.
Yeah.
You're just going to suffer on your own.
That's right. So practical application.
Yeah.
And now that we've done railed against isolation, listen, we love y'all if you're by yourself. And if this is your church, we want you to know that we are not a church.
We're not. No.
The podcast is not your church. You need to connect to a body of believers where you are.
Yeah.
And if you got a TV church, a Facebook church, that's a cool supplement.
Yeah.
But that does not take the place of a community that you can connect with, that you can pray with. So mm-hmm. practical application number one, connect to a church.
I will say connect to a Bible-believing church.
Yes.
Don't just go to anybody who's going to be preaching at you.
Yeah,
You need to open your Bible while they're preaching and follow along.
That's
know
good.
Know they're preaching from the Word.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry, I got a little...
You want a little fundamentalist? Listen. If they ain't preaching from the King James,
oh no, okay, no.
If
no,
it was
no,
good
no,
enough
no,
for
no,
Paul,
no,
it's good
no.
enough for me.
No. You.
All right, let's move past that. We're gonna have people upset about King James. So connect to a church. That's first and foremost.
Yeah.
Because we are a body.
That's right.
And so you have to connect. Like you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Meaning, once you become a believer, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you.
Yeah.
But you are not the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And so connect to a body because you have gifts and abilities that the body needs.
Yeah.
And the body has gifts and abilities that you need to grow you in your grace.
Yes.
And in faith in Christ.
Yes. Another thing you can do is check that pseudo-Christian spiritualism.
Mm.
Check that with what Jesus actually said.
Come on now.
I'm talking about the red letters, y'all. Some of y'all know the red letters. And sometimes we accept most of what Jesus said, but not all of it. But we need to go back to the simple truth of what Jesus said. If you can't, you may not want to understand Deuteronomy. You may not want to go to Kings or whatever other books in the Old Testament. Go to what Jesus said. Go to the Gospel of Luke.
We're going to say start there.
Start there with what he said and just simply try to apply those things.
Yeah.
Try to dive deeper into what he had to say in the context of living with other Christians, doing life with us.
Yeah. And that's important because a lot of the Christianese that we say is about, well, Jesus is a God who does this. Mm-hmm. And then when you go look at his word, Jesus never said anything about division. He's a God of peace. And then you go and look at scripture where he says, I didn't come to bring peace, but a sword.
Right,
and you're
right.
Like, wait a second.
Yeah. Jesus never rejected. And when you look at what he did with the Pharisees.
Yeah. So you have to go and check everything that you think about Jesus with what he actually said. Go to the book, read what he said, and read what Paul and everyone, Luke, Matthew, Mark, read these firsthand accounts of what they experienced with Christ.
Yeah. And I would say to tack on the end of it, be prepared to be uncomfortable
in
Christian fellowship.
Please.
Be prepared for it. We talk about sandpaper a lot. I know that I've been sandpaper in people's lives. Nick's been sandpaper. Other people have been sandpaper for us.
I immediately thought, like, we do a lot of sanding. Like, we always, like, 30 grit,
sandpaper.
40, 100 grit.
But really, be prepared to have that. But think about what sandpaper does. When you sit there and you allow that kind of grinding, like, oh my gosh, that person, they just need extra grace. I just need to be more patient with them. You're always going to encounter people like that.
Yeah.
And where the world will run from them, we are called to endure and to love on them. And you may be that sandpaper for someone else that they need to smooth out those rough edges. So
That's right.
Prepared to be uncomfortable and know that God is going to bless you through it.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys for tuning in. Come back because next week's episode is called Just Out of Reach.
Yeah. It's going to be about the things that we seek, the things that we can't seem to find, and how those things often are just out of reach, as the title says. Pretty appropriate. Apropos.
We hope that this has entertained you and has helped to educate and empower you on being a part of the body and stepping out of spiritual religion.
Spiritual religion.
It's just coffee in this cup, I promise.
Private spirituality. You can just say that.
Well, seminarian. It's cool. It's fine.
Yeah. So this has been the Nick Smith Podcast. We hope you've gotten a dose of real life.
No myth.
Be blessed.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Nick Smith Podcast. We are so glad that you joined us, and we hope that you'll consider subscribing so that you can tune in each week. Don't forget to rate and share this podcast. And if you haven't already, follow us on social media. If you want to be a part of our family's mission to entertain, educate, and empower others, please consider becoming one of our Patreon supporters. Exclusive Nick Smith merchandise is available to you through our online store at www.nicksmithpodcast.com.